Addiction is a disease that impacts all of us. Whether you, your neighbor, friend, or family member is struggling, everyone feels the pain of addiction. Recovery Centers of America wants you to know that addiction treatment works and recovery is possible. Call 1-888-RECOVERY now for help for yourself or a loved one. Recovery Centers of America, Capital Region, and Bracebridge Hall have helped thousands of patients in the D.C., Maryland area start a better, healthier way of life through their evidence-based inpatient and outpatient treatment programs. The caring team of physicians and clinicians at RCA see their patients as so much more than their addiction and are deeply committed to providing expert care with heart. Recovery Centers of America knows that every day in active addiction is a day in isolation, which is why they admit new patients 24/7 year-round. Don't wait. Make the call that can change everything. Call 1-888-RECOVERY now. That's 1-888-RECOVERY.
Hi, I'm John Bearer, the host and lead researcher for Stories of Sacrifice, American POW/MIA podcast, and the U.S. POW/MIA Family Locating. A free forensic genealogy public service I provide to support POW/MIA families trying to get their loved one identified and brought home. First, I want to thank you, our listeners, for your interest in the Stories of Sacrifice podcast. Our goal with the podcast is to tell the world about the sacrifice these brave heroes gave for the freedoms we enjoy every day. They gave our country their last full measure. They give us their tomorrow for our freedom today. Second, we would like to raise public awareness that thousands of these heroes from World War I, World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and the Cold War have still not yet been found or returned to the United States, with many still buried as unknowns in our own national cemeteries. Their families still waiting for our government to disinter and identify them. So what can you do to support this important mission? First, if you are a relative of a missing in action service member, you can visit the Defense POW/MIA Accounting Agency website for more information about providing a family reference DNA sample. If you want more information, you can also contact me at john@uspowmiafamilylocating.com. Even if you're not related to an MIA, you can contact your members of Congress to request they allocate enough funding to support the POW/MIA mission and to change the DPAA policy to a DNA lead process and create additional public partnerships to disinter and process the remains for those that are buried as unknown. You can also help us in our mission by sharing these podcast stories with your friends, family, and consider sharing them on your own social media. We would also appreciate if you could leave us a review on your favorite podcast app. You can also visit www.storiesofsacrifice.org and leave us a review there. You can visit our affiliate links on our website where we will earn a small commission on your purchases at no extra cost to you. If you feel moved to do so, please visit our donation links on our website to help us continue this important mission. Just sharing these stories helps us greatly, and we cannot thank you enough for listening. Sit back and relax, and we hope you enjoy today's show. Thank you for joining us today on Stories of Sacrifice podcast. We wanted to take a minute to announce that our podcast can also be found on YouTube, which includes bonus interviews with World War II POW/MIA families not found in our audio podcast. We also do a bi-weekly live stream on Monday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern Time, where you can call in and ask questions of our guests or tell us about a POW/MIA you might know about. You can find the YouTube link in this episode's show notes or by searching YouTube for RV Traveling MIA Researcher, or you can also use the hashtag #StoriesOfSacrifice. Welcome to Stories of Sacrifice, World War II American POW/MIA's podcast, the voice of the missing in action and the voice of those buried as unknowns in our national cemeteries. I'm your host and lead researcher, John Bearer. Welcome to today's Story of Sacrifice podcast. Today we're bringing you the story of Private Arthur H. Kelder, who was the first unknown returned to his family from the Philippines. Bud, as his family called him, is a story that is typical of those who died in the Kabatatuan POW camp after surviving the Bataan Death March. He was the first of more than 300 unknowns to be returned to his family. Why is the Department of Defense dragging their feet on returning all of them? This is an update of the first post ever published on BataanMissing.com. Much has changed since Bud was disinterred from his grave as an unknown in Manila in 2014. More than 300 families of MIAs have received answers to their decades-old question concerning the fate of their loved one. The question now is not what happened to these men, rather why have they not all been returned home? It's not a pretty story and will leave many families wondering who is actually buried in their family plot. Private Kelder was stationed at Sternberg General Hospital in Manila at the outbreak of World War II. Upon the outbreak of war, he was consolidated into General Hospital No. 2, located on the Bataan Peninsula. After the April 9, 1942 surrender of the American forces in the Philippines, he endured the Bataan Death March, Camp O'Donnell, ultimately Kabatatuan Camp 1, where he died of malnutrition, diphtheria, on November 19, 1942. Bud's remains and those of 13 other men who died on the same day were buried in the camp's cemetery, Grave 717. After the American victory over Japan in 1945, the cemetery was opened and the remains relocated to a temporary cemetery, Manila No. 2. By comparison of dental records, the American Army was able to identify the remains of Harvey A. Nichols, Juan E. Gutierrez, Lawrence Hanscom, and Daniel C. Bain. Unfortunately, the Army managed to ship the wrong remains to these families. All four of these men were buried in the United States by their families, in belief they had received the remains of their family member. The other 10 men, Arthur H. Kelder, Frederick G. Collins, George G. Simmons, Evans E. Oberle, George S. York, John Kovach, Harold S. Hershey, Lloyd J. Lodell, John W. Rourke, and Charles M. Wade, were buried as unknowns in the Manila American Cemetery, operated by the American Battlement Monuments Commission. In 2009, the family of Bud Kelder began researching his life and had obtained from the U.S. Army the records of his death. These records indicated that his remains had been buried and recovered from Kabatatuan Camp Cemetery and were among 10 specific sets of remains not identified. It was quickly apparent that Bud had never been an unknown. The Army knew all along where he and the other MIAs were. They just never told the families the circumstances of their deaths or that there was any problem identifying the remains. Instead, the families of the MIAs were told that their remains were non-recoverable. Non-recoverable meant one thing to the families and something entirely different to the Army. Other records necessary to identify the remains of Bud Kelder were requested under the Freedom of Information Act. The Department of Defense refused to provide these records, and the Kelder family brought a suit in federal court. The records were ultimately received in 2012, along with thousands of other records of World War II unidentified remains. The family's lawsuit actually obtained all of the records of World War II unidentified remains. Families of World War II MIAs are invited to request copies of these records. The primary reason the remains of the 10 men in Grave 717 were not identified was due to the lack of military dental records. However, Bud Kelder's older brother, Herman Kelder, had been a dentist, and the family's records indicated that he had placed distinctive gold inlays in his brother's teeth. Only one of the 10 remains recovered from Grave 717 had any gold dental work shown in their files. Although the document showed that the teeth with the gold inlays had disappeared from the remains while in the custody of the U.S. Army Graves Registration Unit. Unidentified remains X816 Manila No. 2 were obviously the remains of Bud Kelder. The disappearance of the gold or silver dental work was just one example of how badly the military had mismanaged the recovery of the dead, and another reason for them to sweep things under the rug. The evidence that X816 was the remains of Bud Kelder was overwhelming and far exceeded the standard used by the Army in identifying the other remains. Most likely because the current government officials were aware many remains had been shipped to the wrong families for burial, the U.S. Department of Defense, after much buck-passing and excuses, refused to return X816 remains to the Kelder family. The Kelder family was forced to file a second lawsuit in federal court, and in 2014, the U.S. government, faced with a court order, finally consented to the exhumation of the 10 unknowns, Kabatatuan, Grave 717. So how many Identified remains were shipped to the wrong families for burial in the States is a story for another blog post. It wasn't that everything that could go wrong did, rather anything they could screw up through incompetence and mismanagement they did. 10 anonymously complete sets of remains were recovered. After nearly 5 years of litigation in federal court, the government had argued that even though the evidence was overwhelming, only the government had the authority to identify the remains. Therefore, the families had no right to demand the return of the remains. 2,729 Americans were buried in two cemeteries at Kabatiquan Camps 1 and 3 between June 3, 1942 and October 28, 1944. 1,756 of them were identified and buried as directed by their families, either in the States or at an overseas military cemetery. 973 are still listed as unknowns, most buried in the Manila American Cemetery, and a few at the National Memorial Cemetery of the Pacific, the Punch Bowl in Hawaii. Nearly 5 months after Bud's remains were disinterred, the Department of Defense, using outdated mitochondrial DNA identification techniques, returned the skull and three long bones to the Kelder family. These remains were buried next to his parents as they had wished. Bud Kelder was the first World War II unknown returned to his family in modern times. In an effort to dispose of the still pending litigation, a few of Bud's bones were quickly, after only 5 months, identified. A few token bones from each of the others were slowly returned to their families for burial. While at the time of this podcast, more than 5 years after they were exhumed, at least token portions of most of the 14 men of Grave 717 have been identified. However, they have led the way for more than 300 additional unknowns to be disinterred. They have also shown some of the U.S. government's dirty little secrets. The Department of Defense selectively chooses or cherry-picks the cases they disinter in an effort to meet their congressionally mandated minimum number of identifications and to also minimize the embarrassment to the government due to erroneous identifications. Why does the Department of Defense refuse to return MIAs upon the family's request? Why do they return only a few token bones instead of the nearly complete remains recovered from the cemeteries? Why do they cling to outdated and ineffective identification techniques? Rather than using the state-of-the-art techniques employed by the rest of the world, the Department of Defense, DPAA, clings to the use of outdated identification techniques as an excuse to avoid recovering and timely identification of the missing. How do they dispose of the major portion of the remains that are beyond their ability to identify? While the government knows who was misidentified and or commingled with the remains of others, they avoid correcting their errors. For more information on Bud Kelder's story, you're invited to visit these linked stories below in the show notes, which include NPR's All Things Considered, Grave Science, and ProPublica, Failing the Fallen. If a member of your family is missing from World War II, you're invited to contact BatanMissing@gmail.com for copies of their burial records and information about how they can be identified. You can also contact me at john@uspowmiafamilylocating.com. Thank you for listening to Stories of Sacrifice, World War II, American POW MIAs in the Philippines. This has been a production of the USPOW-MIA Family Locating. You can find us on the web at USPOW-MIAFamilyLocating.com. Opinions expressed in this podcast are our own and given in the best intention. Overall, the POW-MIA accounting community is doing what it can with limited resources. It is our hope additional federal funding will be provided, along with additional partnerships established to disinter and process the remains of our unknowns located in the national cemeteries. You can help by contacting your congressional representatives and asking that they implement a DNA lead policy for those unknown POW-MIAs. Thank you for listening.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2021 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.
Hey, Washington, D.C. We all miss the cheers,
the tears,
and the touchdowns.
The excitement of a last-second field goal to get the heart pumping.
The football season's finally here.
So now is the time to head to Hollywood Casino at Charlestown Races
to place your bets for Week 8.
And placing your bets at the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown Races
is an easy way to earn exciting My Choice rewards all season long.
At the Sportsbook at Hollywood Casino Charlestown Races.
All gaming is regulated by the West Virginia Lottery. Gamble too much? Call 1-800-522-4700 for free confidential help. Must be 21.